God, did you know that 300...
This is going to be
good. ...had a $65 million budget, but worldwide it took $456 million? That's a comic book movie, not a superhero movie.
You're quite correct.
She's proud of that one.
Yeah,
she's proud. Welcome to the BAM Comic Podcast. BAM, you're all saying it. We three are he. Went too Scottish for my own good. We three are here. We've all got cups of tea and we're all here to talk about comic stuff. I am Neil Gortz. I am joined by Carly.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Stu.
Hello.
Tell us what's coming up on the show, Unky Stu.
Much to Neil's annoyance, I'm going to come back with the Sinister Society of Stupid.
Yes!
Okay.
My favourite.
I was set a challenge to try and beat the amazing Ruby Thursday in the last issue.
That's true.
I think I've done it.
Okay, well,
I think I've done it.
You're talking a big game. I've known you to deliver.
Okay.
I'll look forward to that.
Apart from that, we'll also touch on your favourite character, Deadpool, again.
Oh, this is not my favourite show so far, but okay, we're going to talk about some Deadpool. I'm assuming that's Deadpool movie news.
Yes.
Okay.
And keeping on a movie news theme.
Yeah.
Some Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 casting news.
All right.
And what else are you going to talk about?
Well, I suppose it being a comic podcast, I'll talk about some comics instead of these bloody movies.
You maverick.
I know. I can start my own podcast. No movies allowed. All right, let's start with that bloody Deadpool.
Let's get him out of the way.
Because
it's second week running now.
I, like a proper champ, went to the cinema this week.
Yeah, I know you did, and I'm...
I didn't know.
Well, allow me to elaborate further. I went to cinema this week, and I did not watch Deadpool.
Yeah.
I
chose instead to watch Zoolander 2, a proper movie. What are you talking? It was great. There's no need for it. It was great. I don't know what everyone's talking about.
It's supposed to be absolutely terrible, though, right?
It's fucking amazing. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
You just said
11 out of 10, the extra point for being better than anything Deadpool related.
As I have to say, I will have to respectfully disagree, even though I haven't seen Zoolander 2. I just don't see how that could be better than Deadpool.
You're just like people on the internet. As I was coming out of Deadpool, I sort of, like, you know, you're in the lobby.
As you were coming out of Deadpool.
Sorry, Freudian.
Can we rewind that?
Yeah. As I left the cinema, as I was in the foyer, I was weighing up, like, oh, maybe we could just go into the next screen of Deadpool and just get out of the way. And a stream of boys stinking of links and spots and just sweets.
Spots stink.
Okay. Just a teenage boy throng stepped out from behind me and they were singing DMX. And I just.
Oh,
and they're like,
wow.
Oh, that was amazing. Did you see the bit with Mini Deadpool? Meh. And I was like, oh, this is the audience. This is the fucking... And they were singing DMX like they've never heard DMX. And I was like, fair enough, you're probably a good 15 years younger than me.
Like, what is this cool new
song? Fuck you. No, I don't want to be sat in a room with them. I might have to forego my Deadpool cinema experience that comes out on DVD now.
So, thanks to Stevenage's Finest Youth. Oh, it's put you off. You're on the verge of going in.
It's your fault again, Stevenage.
Yeah.
But it's not about my doom and gloom. I believe there is actually good news about Deadpool.
Yeah, so it's done like phenomenally well in the box office.
Mm.
So over here, it's a 15 certificate, which is not a big deal.
Right.
But in the US, it got an R rating, which is the equivalent of an 18.
Right.
So that's kind of traditionally seen as a bit of a death knell for a movie.
Okay.
Deadpool's a superhero movie, so a superhero getting an R rating is kind of... Not so seen as a good thing?
Well, no, yeah. I can't think of the equivalent. Maybe The Crow didn't do commercially well. It's about the last superhero movie I can remember being an 18.
Yeah, but I think the difference is it's Deadpool is very much a costume superhero. So
sure.
obviously his character type, he isn't like Spider-Man, he isn't like Captain America, he is a kind of, well, I'll say he skirts the grey area, but he kind of goes over the edge. But as far as perception goes for the public, they'll look at that and think it's going to be another Marvel Disney movie,
mm-hmm.
which isn't. Blade, for example, is technically it's a superhero movie, but it's not a costumed superhero movie.
And nor is The Crow.
Nor is The Crow. Yeah.
Both in long leather trench coats, which I'm not sure.
Did you ever read the original? I'm going to correct you on that.
Go on, correct us.
I would much rather see The Crow or Blade in a lovely long black leather jacket than see someone in a tight spandex red suit looking all silly.
Okay.
It's got a good point.
Do you ever read the original graphic novel for The Crow?
Me, I've got the original graphic novel for The Crow. That was my teenage years.
Damn good.
It's the whole reason I've got a little copy of The Cat in the Hat by my bedside cabinet.
Yeah. That's a very obscure reference.
Yeah, it is like an obscure reference.
Look it up, kids.
Can rain all the times, Stu.
Yeah.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah.
They are remaking it, apparently, the movie.
They've tried. I think Edward Furlong had a shot at one point, didn't he?
Edward Furlong.
Easy money.
Wow.
Did he do it? Or was he in rehab at the time? I don't know.
He was in and out of rehab.
Yeah.
I think you're talking like The Crow 3 and 4.
Okay. Because I know, didn't David Boreanaz from Buffy and Angel, he was The Crow.
He was scheduled for a bit.
Yeah. I think he was recently cast. We'll come back
wasn't
to that.
Wasn't
Neil.
We're steering away.
Brandon Lee. It definitely is not Brandon Lee, which is a tragedy.
Indeed.
Well, there's a reason he can't come back, apparently.
I think he might have died.
Are you unaware as to whether Brandon Lee is alive or dead at this point?
He hasn't done anything.
Right, okay. I just like we could turn this into a game.
Yeah.
Name,
dead or alive?
Name 90s movie stars. Yeah. Anyway, we are drifting away, probably rightfully, from Deadpool, but tell me more about Deadpool and all this money.
So it's made
from children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's made a shit ton of money. So it's broken records.
Right.
So what that kind of means is the Hollywood perception of an R-rated costume superhero movie being an R-rating isn't going to make money is kind of being thrown out the window.
Okay.
So that's made them look at future projects. And again, a lot of it could be just rumour and speculation. So there was the X-Force movie, which, if you guys aren't familiar, that's kind of X-Men, Commandos. They kind of do the sort of dirty work. So there's rumours that could be an R-rating now.
Okay.
Which is good. There's actually a very good X-Force storyline where they kind of tackle that. If you had the ability to go back in time and kill Hitler, would you do it?
Ooh.
So they go back to meet a child version of Apocalypse, who's a big villain in the new movie.
Mm.
And so they have, like, you know, Deadpool, Wolverine, and Psylocke having this kind of real big conversation of like, oh, but he's just a child. Could we do
real
this?
Real talk. Real. Do we knock off the baby Hitler?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, we've all been there. But no, so X-Force, that was a really good storyline where, you know, because you're used to having these kind of heroic characters who kind of skirt the edges, you kind of think, well, they're not going to do it. But, like, have this big discussion, and I'm going to paraphrase, but Wolverine was like, yep, totally see your points, pops his claws, kills a kid.
Fair enough.
So I'm like, to me, it's like, if they do an X-Force movie on that kind of line, I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking down with that.
Okay.
And it kind of, like, moves into my little story of
I just can't get the My Little Pony chime out of my head now. My little story.
So skinny and bony.
Tell us your little story.
Yeah, so at the Fox's Toy Fair, there was a pamphlet that has sort of like made the rounds now of Wolverine 3
mm-hmm.
with the anticipated R rating all splashed all over it.
Dun.
Anticipated R rating.
Right.
Anticipated. But so that kind of like goes into what you're saying about how with this whole thing of dressed up superheroes.
So Wolverine 3 is meant to be, that's it. That's the very last time your Jackman's going to get on board.
He's saying it, that's it. He's saying he's done with it.
They've wheeled Patrick Stewart out as well. He's made an announcement that he's going to be Professor X.
Mm.
So apparently rumours are it's going to be based on the old man Logan storyline.
That would make sense, okay.
Did you read that one?
I'm aware of it. I've not actually read it.
So that's the whole 50 years in the future, supervillains taken over the US. Basically, the states is separated into different jurisdictions. You've got, like, Doctor Doom in charge of one area, Magneto in charge of the other. Red Skull's the president. Of course. Like, Wolverine is no longer Wolverine. He's just Logan, and he's got a family, and he's living in the outback, and he's turned his back on his ways because of some dark secret from his past.
Bloody Wolverine, another dark secret.
Oh, he's so brooding, isn't
he? So brooding. So I think that'd be quite cool if Hugh went out.
I want to see. We've always wanted a bit where he takes someone's arm off, so we go, oh, he's got an arm off. I really enjoyed the Wolverine game that came out that was a 15, and that was incredibly violent.
Is that the one off the back of Origins?
Yeah. The game, a rare case of a game being better than the movie.
Doesn't that open when you jump out of a helicopter?
Yeah.
And the opening bit is you're going slow motion and you just like wedge your claws into a guy to stop you landing.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, it's great. Good game.
I'm done with that, but then do we want more R-rated superhero movies?
But I don't really see what this whole big deal is. I know what you're saying is sort of like the kiss of death when it comes to the box office ratings and how much money that particular movie is going to get in if it was a lower rating.
Mm.
I still just don't really understand what the big deal is, to be totally honest. It's just a little bit more adult content, more fun for everyone else.
Well, maybe that's it. I think maybe the majority of money is made because you can take everyone to a Marvel movie. Like, you can take everyone to go and see Avengers, and maybe that's where the money comes from.
I think so. I mean, something like the Avengers, that obviously cost a lot more than Daredevil to make.
Mm.
Deadpool.
What did I say?
Daredevil.
Did I?
Yeah, but it's because you've got Daredevil on the mind because of the new trailer.
Bam. Segue.
Give him a man in a leather costume.
I like it. They all look the same to me. So yeah, I think
that's what you said. Hey.
Well, you went in Deadpool, and you're talking about another one. So
it's got a D in it. He's red. They look alike. So yeah, I think it also to do with like merchandising. You know, with something like Deadpool, you're not necessarily going to be able to get kids' playsets.
Mm.
Well, in theory, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I've seen Call of Duty kids' toys.
Yeah.
And like Halo, and these are all like 15-18 certificates, so it's a bit. And that's actually Assassin's Creed.
Anything to the kiddies, can't you?
Exactly. That's the other podcast.
But people have always done that. Like, I remember back in the day that I could buy Terminator action figures, Terminator 2 action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone had seen it. If it's a runaway success, there'll be toys from it.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at something like RoboCop, where that was an 18 certificate, the first movie.
Yeah.
And it was horrifically violent, awesomely violent, depends on how anyone look at it.
Mm.
And they tamed that down, didn't they, for the sequels? And they kind of like milked it down to PG certificate.
Until it ended up as a TV series.
So,
which was bad.
And that was a traditional thinking. It was like, they obviously thought, we got a success here. We want to get a new audience. We want to make it bigger and wider. So I'm kind of curious what they'll do with Deadpool 2. Will they have even more pressure now to make that a lower certificate?
I don't think that they would, though. I think that would just completely contradict Deadpool as a character as well. I don't think that they would drop the rating to accommodate for a younger audience. I think they just stay on par with what they're doing.
Well, otherwise, what's the point? But we know, so apparently Ryan Reynolds said in a podcast this week that they're well underway with the script, and it looks like the team are coming back together again.
Mm.
And I just think they'll totally kind of stick to that formula.
Yeah.
But I imagine it wouldn't surprise me if you hear stories over the next year or so when they're doing production where people are putting pressure on them. They're like, yeah, we love what you're doing. We love what you're doing. Carry on doing it. Can we make it a PG, though?
Hmm.
Mm.
It'd be interesting to see. It wouldn't surprise me if people end up walking away from it. Like, they end up firing a director or something. You look how messed up the Fantastic Four movie was. None of us have actually seen it, but you look at the production on that. As soon as studios invest money, and that was a Fox movie as well.
Yeah.
I just think you're going to see people trying to muscle in.
Get a piece of that pie. Yeah. Someone much smarter than me, it was a comic writer, and to my eternal shame, I can't remember her name, came out today and said that it's great that Deadpool has like set this precedent, but the precedent you should be paying attention to is that different works. So rather than just plowing straight into an R-rated Deadpool sequel, they should maybe make Squirrel Girl series, but aimed at like tweens. And I thought, oh, I could get behind that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to get lightning to strike twice. Not that I want the Deadpool franchise to die.
No, being a big fan, you're well invested in that.
Yeah.
So we can stop on Deadpool if you want.
Let's stop on Deadpool.
I think we should try to stop talking about Deadpool until you've seen it, which could be quite a long time.
Oh, that's good, because I can reverse cycle.
Ah, no.
Yeah, and then just never see it. Lock myself in a cave. Oral copies of Deadpool DVD.
I think this whole Deadpool thing's going to be floating around for a long time, though, isn't it?
Like a nasty smell. All right, next topic. So there's been a new Daredevil trailer.
They're actually doing part one of two when it comes to trailers.
This
was the Punisher theme one. Next week we get the Elektra themed.
Not as excited about the Elektra themed
one. I'm not either.
No.
I guarantee Neil would be excited if it was part two was a Rosario Dawson themed.
Fuck yes.
You wouldn't.
Fuck yes,
my
I would.
God.
Stunning creature.
Lovely lady.
Stunning creature. Mm.
So, John.
Hello, Matthew. That's not how you end a trailer. Like, I appreciate people are excited to see Elektra, but I wasn't one of them. I was extremely excited to see what they would do with the Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't look disappointing.
I'm more used to me Frank Castle being a bit older, because I got to grips with it in the Punisher Max run, where he's an unspecified 60-plus-year-old, but because he does his squats and lunges every day, he's still a brick shithouse. Yeah, absolutely tank. But I can take it. It wouldn't make any sense for Charlie Cox to go against a 60-year-old man, so...
Yeah, it looks... I mean, it's only a trailer. There's not a lot we can go on, but knowing what we know about the first series of Daredevil, we know that it's going to be very grim and gritty. It looks like they're not going to hold back.
Yeah, the fight scenes look like they've got the potential to be brilliant.
Mm. It's kind of Goodfellas...
Yeah,
Scorsese vibe.
A bit
like, yeah, you see like the crime scenes. Like,
I can get behind that. I think certainly since watching Jessica Jones, I realised that Daredevil really has to up its game now.
Yeah,
I think it will. I don't think it would be disappointing.
You can't go soft when it's got the Punisher involved.
No, a lot of claret.
Bethnal with blood splatter on his face as well. It's just like, wow, that just is amazing.
What taught me through the emotions you felt seeing that?
Stu witnessed it. I don't know what happened. I think I blanked out for a minute.
That powerful? Oh, right. Okay, so did you just want to sit him down and give him a meal type of thing? Do you want to take him on a date?
Sure.
Just dab that red off and sit him down at a restaurant?
There was a, oh my, exclamation.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I have
C-3PO it. Level, that was.
Oh my. Yeah, I got a bit unnecessary of that. I don't know what it is about that, but...
A bad boy covered in mobster blood just ticks
just
a box.
Loving it as well.
Just making it work.
Yeah. But he's great anyway. He's brilliant. I've always liked him.
So he's in The Walking Dead?
Was.
You haven't...
I've delved into The Walking Dead, but it lost me halfway through.
It lost
season
everyone
two.
Halfway through.
Yeah, I hear it's returned to form.
Yeah, you got me back into it, actually, because I had given up.
Yeah, but apparently the mid-season premiere that aired, I don't know when it aired in the UK.
A couple of days ago.
I mean, I think that they're saying that, you know, the ratings are dropping a bit, but I think it's bloody good.
Yeah, this season, is it six? Season six or something?
Yeah, it's gone on for quite a while.
Yeah, I find with Walking Dead, I mean, quite disparagingly, I kind of refer to it as a Talking Dead, because they have like a couple of episodes.
Oh,
yeah
sick burn. They have a habit.
Bro.
Yeah, I'm down with the kids. They have a habit of... lost it, haven't I?
Yeah.
I've lost the audience again, mother!
It's a bit like when they bring Poochie Dog into The Simpsons. At the end of the podcast, you're just going to skateboard away.
Yep. Cigarette in the side of my mouth. Candy cigarette.
Candy cigarette, of course.
So, I think with The Walking Dead, they have a habit of having some really, really good episodes, really action-packed, or just really tense.
Mm.
And then they just do a talky episode, and it's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I think the problem I had with The Walking Dead is I stopped caring about the characters. So season five, I'm going to spoil it for everyone there if you haven't seen it. So season five, when they killed off Beth.
That just went on for too long, and it just got to the point where you just thought, something's got to happen to this girl.
But it did, and I remember watching it, and I was like, oh. And I thought, well, that's not the reaction I should have. I should be like, oh, shot. I was just like, oh.
Did you not really feel for Daryl, though?
No.
Daryl.
Poor Dazza.
No.
Poor Daryl.
So, yeah, I kind of lost it. But I think this season's come back as a return to form, and we haven't, you know, we haven't seen the latest season opener. I think it's supposed to be very, very good. But it's been at the top of the tree. It's been the highest rated TV series
for ages.
For ages.
I can't remember a time without it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why everyone gets so up in arms if the viewing rating dips.
Yeah.
By like a percent or something like yeah. that. I mean.
But it's inevitable. These, it always happens. So it happened with the X Files when they dragged it on for like series 6, 7, and 8
yeah.
And 9. It kind of just, people just lost interest. I don't think I ever watched the last two series of the X-Files. It was, I was just done.
Oh, you tapped out
yeah.
much later than I did then. Oh, fair okay. play to you. Fair play.
And again, you know, other series, so like Doctor Who, that was top of the tree, and now no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Given a shit and Doctor Who.
No, I was a big Doctor Who apologist for a long, a long time. Yeah, because consistently they'll have... they'd have, I mean, they do some terrible episodes, but they did some amazing stories. They'd have a few standalone episodes, which were some of the best TV sci-fi drama stories, arguably in any series. But I think for the last few years, I can't even think of one episode on its own that was actually up to scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I think Capaldi's brilliant, but he's just had dogshit stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably the second Matt Smith series was probably the best one. And then it's just gone downhill from there.
See, I can't comment really because I have never even bothered to watch Doctor Who at all, apart from when I came round your house and had to sit through a couple of episodes and I just thought, what the flip?
But I did apologise. That was the Capaldi stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I did say to him, I'm really, really sorry, I'm going to watch this. Not need to, I kind of felt I had to watch it. And I was
yeah,
like, that was
like,
shit.
You're compelled.
Yeah.
The power of Christ compelled you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to watch it, but it was terrible. And I just, there wasn't enough internet to get me through that hour.
Yeah. 50, yeah, I was going to say 50 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Bringing it back, because we've got a bit out of Daredevil, so I didn't realise there was a part two of this trailer coming.
Yeah, that was the hook at the end. So
okay,
Elektra.
Shush! How quickly I turned off at the mere sight of Elektra.
Yeah, so they're gonna do a second trailer next week.
Okay,
to ramp up the hype. I presume it's two parts. I don't know how.
But so
yeah, it does look good though.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm behind a two part trailer. I saw this week there had been trailers for trailers, so we had a teaser trailer for the teaser trailer of the new Ghostbusters film.
Yep, I'd heard on the internet there was a trailer, and I got excited, and it turned out it was a trailer of a trailer.
It was literally a trailer of a trailer. And then Star Wars Episode 8 literally kicked off with a glorious, like, literal 3 seconds of footage from Episode 8.
That wasn't a trailer.
It wasn't a trailer, but a little announcement. Yeah.
I like that though. It's kind of like we just started filming today. Here's Mark Hamill looking all.
We were just literally just shouting, "Say something, please!" I've already got a theory about that.
Can we talk?
Yeah. Oh, for God's sakes! If you've not seen the new Star Wars by now, then fucking throw your iPod in the sea. Stop listening to this.
I'm one of those idiots that would just go, yeah, and blah, 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 blah. And everyone's going, no, shut up.
No, we're definitely weapons free.
I think we can do that now. I went to see Force Awakens and we came out and we were with a friend and they were going, well, if you haven't seen it, you really should stop listening now. And they were like, oh, that's a bit rubbish about the way that Han died. And I'm there going, shut, you can't talk. In a foyer, people were coming in. I was like,
Was that me?
It wasn't you.
Oh, it wasn't you. That was me.
It wasn't me having a subtle dig at you.
Yeah,
but
I actually genuinely thought I did that.
No, it's like you just can't talk about it because it's like we mentioned Simpsons earlier. It was like an episode of The Simpsons where
he walks past the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I can't believe Darth Vader's Luke's father.
So yeah. You don't want to be that. You don't want to go, oh, I can't believe they killed off Han Solo. I mean, how fucked off would you be?
In the most boring, lame death scene ever as well.
That's true. But anyway.
What's your theory then?
Right, my theory, right, buckle up, buckle in.
I'm ready.
Right, so it's only literally 3 seconds of footage, but I reckon they've either not colour balanced it because it's not finished footage yet, or it could well be that is the same location taking place either later that day or some days later. Ray's like, come on, Luke, take your lightsaber. And he's like, nah, on your bike.
Over it.
Yeah, over it. So I don't reckon it's necessarily straight carrying on from the very second we left off Episode 7.
I did think it was a bit strange because all the previous Star Wars movies were not consecutive. There was obviously there was a 3-year gap between each of the original movies in as far as release dates go, and I always got the impression that happened, that was kind of real time as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made sense for them just to literally, it would be, well, it'd be breaking from the trend.
Although saying that, at the end of Empire and the beginning of Jedi, was there a 3-year gap? It's like, we're going to go off to find Han. Did they really take him 3 years to go to Tatooine?
It's left a bit, yeah, because it's left, depending on how much you read into the extended universe stuff, like, it's 3 years or it's just a couple of weeks. Because it wouldn't, it's all the more horrible if they've left Han Solo in Carbonite for like 3 years.
He wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, and they know that Boba Fett works for fucking Jabba the Hutt, so wouldn't that be the first place? But when you read the... you read the extended universe stuff and they're all off having other adventures and, oh, where could Jabba's palace be and all that? So well, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Okay. We'll see. But yeah, anyway, Daredevil looks good.
Yeah.
What else has there been trailers for that we wanted to talk about? Bats versus Supes.
Well, again, it just feels like it's last week repeating itself because this is just Daredevil.
Batman versus Superman.
Just seems to keep coming up. But yeah, so another trailer came out for Batman versus Superman, which I know that a certain Stuart Taylor got rather excited about.
I did.
And I did for other reasons.
Yeah, we were both impressed for different reasons. So I
was impressed for the same reasons that you were. Let's be truthful. It was good.
Yeah, okay, so I think it opened up with the whole sequence of Batman, Ben Affleck as Batman. It kind of consolidates what I've always thought that he'll be really, really good. And it was for me, it was like real hardcore Batman action.
Fight scene is awesome, and I think that actually, at the time I said to Stu, "All right, I'm gonna relent and say..."
Because you disagreed, you didn't think Affleck was going to be good casting.
I just have Ben Affleck issues. And it's because he's probably like a really nice guy and everything, but I just...
Sorry, Ben. We know you listen.
Yeah, I just... Ben Affleck is Batman. It's like, I've said it before, it's like having Matt Damon as Batman. It's ridiculous. But he completely... turned my thinking around in that trailer.
Very
really cool.
I thought Jezza Irons was good.
Jezza Irons, Christ. Yeah, if there's one thing that trailer did do, it was sell me on Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
fair play. And sticking with my comment from the last episode, they seem to be showing these trailers in reverse order. If you'd have dropped this is supposed to be the final trailer. If you'd have dropped that trailer first, I would have been so on board from the very beginning.
Yeah, like it was.
But you just shot your load too early. That's how I feel. It's too good.
But I think the reaction generally for the first two hasn't been particularly favourable. I mean, obviously we've been grumpy about it, but I think that seems to be a general opinion. Mm. If people are monitoring social media or you know, fan engagement, people are like, "Ooh,
these bloody community manager types."
I know, they're the worst. So I think they are kind of, the music was different. The way it was approached was a bit more fun and exciting, whether the first two seemed a bit dour and po-faced and a bit grim and a bit like, "Oh, that looks a barrel of laughs." So they've kind of gone for a bit more, it's got that.
Yeah.
People say to you, Batman versus Superman, the movie, that trailer to me seemed that would be more of what you expected.
Mm.
So rumours are apparently internally Warner's a bit nervous about this. Again, this could be someone just writing a story for the sake of it.
Yeah.
An anonymous reliable source tells me.
And so it could change their plans, because I think we've got Suicide Squad, that's in the can. And the reaction to that's been really, really good. Again, it's only a trailer. So Wonder Woman's filming, and the initial kind of reaction as far as casting and setting seems to be quite positive. But I think Justice League was next, and so the stories are that apparently that might be shelved depending on reaction to Batman vs. Superman. They might fast track a Batman movie instead.
Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting thing because I'm a lonely man that looks at comic websites. So at the Toy Fair in America Land, they previewed the 6 and 12 inch Suicide Squad figures. And on the 6-inch figures, they had Deadpool. I don't think they had Harley Quinn. They had Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Fucking, what is it with Deadpool? Like, I swear,
just embrace it's changing, it, Neil. Changing don't me fight crazy. It.
Yeah, Neil, you just need to go and watch it.
I fucking do.
He's already seen it. He's just bullshitting us.
Yeah, I swear. He loved it.
Fucking loved it. I've got a full chest tattoo. They had Deadshot. they had the Joker. What's the one that isn't Killer Croc that can make fire happen? This guy.
El Diablo?
El Diablo, thank you very much. And they had Batman.
And we know he's in it,
but yeah, and they showed the Batman figure, and he's like Grant Morrison type Batman suit.
Yeah.
Very much looked like the promotional picture of Ben Affleck from the first Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
But the Batman figure has like a gas mask on, so the face is like obscured.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Ben Affleck cameo in Suicide Squad.
Well, I think we know he's in it, because didn't they do some filming where you've got the Joker in his car with Harley Quinn, and there was a stunt guy in a Batman costume on the roof? They did some like street footage in America. Yeah. So the impression I get is that could be like a flashback.
Yeah.
I think they'll get him in there, I think.
It would be weird to have two Batmans on the go at the same time.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, the Will Smith action figure looks fucking demented. But, you know, what can you do? You've only got 6 inches to work with.
That's that big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dick jokes.
Hey.
You said shooting your load too early and we didn't pick up on it.
We left that one.
Who are you to judge?
But I didn't mean it in that context.
Oh, well. Just flipped back in our court now. We're the bad ones.
Yeah.
All right, we've talked about bloody superheroes long enough. Let's go to space for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 news.
Kurt Russell, mate.
Kurt bloody Russell. Has to be.
What a bit of casting.
What a bit of casting. Well,
everyone loves Kurt Russell. You can't not love Kurt Russell.
Well, I don't think he's ever been a dick in his career, is he? Like, a lot of people have gone off the rails.
Goldie Hawn. How can you be a dick?
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn just mellows you out.
Yeah.
She's awesome. Yeah, as true. Well.
Every time you get angry with him, he can just pull out a copy of Overboard and you're like, Kurt Russell.
Best couple movie ever.
That was a deep cut. There's probably a few listeners going, what the fuck is Overboard? Watch it. Change your life.
Yeah. It's better than the other weird couple movie, Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. I know it's meant to be talking about comic books, but I do not want to see Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise just...
At it.
Pounding.
If you're listening to this, Tom Cruise... No more.
Because Tom Cruise, legend. Yeah, Tom Cruise, Eyes Wide Shut, Tom Cruise, no.
Bring it back to comics. Did you know, apparently, Tom Cruise was approached to play Iron Man, the original Iron Man, but you think he turned it down? And so, De Niro?
That'd be an
Iron Man.
Oh, God, yeah, De Niro.
De Niro's Iron Man? De Niro's Tony Stark?
Fucking amazing.
Excellent. No, oh. So the other one.
Robert Downey Jr.
That's the one.
Are you still thinking of like all I can Daredevil?
See, I could just see Daredevil, yeah. Spandex, I've just lost it.
Every time you close your eyes.
It's my kryptonite. It's just here in red spandex.
So who is Kurt Russell going to
play? Men in red spandex.
Who is Kurt Russell going to play? Has to be a dad, right? Has to be.
Yeah, we don't know for sure, but so basically all we know about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is that it's going to be dealing with Star-Lord's parentage. We know who his mum is, but we don't know who his father is. I think Kurt would be playing his dad.
Yeah.
But then maybe it's a red herring. Maybe Kurt's the big bad in this one.
Could be.
I was going to say you're not going to get Kurt Russell in for a bit part, but then when you had old Benicio...
Yeah, he's back as well.
He's back.
Glenn Close is coming back as well.
Cool.
And there's a few other cast members, none of which, I haven't written them down, but none of which really kind of struck me as, I've heard of them. It's just Kurt is a big hook.
Mm.
Do you think that the second one, I mean, like with Deadpool, do you think that the second Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be as good?
I think this, unlike maybe what they're going to do with Deadpool, I think they're absolutely 100% going to try and hit the exact same notes with Guardians 2. I think it'll almost be a carbon copy.
Mm.
It's going to take you on the same... It's going to go for the same emotional pangs and... Definitely.
Yeah, same brilliant soundtrack. Same approach. I think Marvel Studios seem to have a bit more leeway in allowing people to kind of follow their filmmakers' individual paths. Mm. So we've talked about this at length previously, how they have different types of tones of movies.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gone to the adult lengths that the likes of Daredevil again. They haven't gone the lengths.
I feel like we should just scrap this and start again.
Yeah.
It's called the Daredevil podcast.
Yeah. I think they'll follow the same route. I think they say, like I said, they'll hit the same notes.
Right.
We don't know anything about the real story. We don't know who the villains are.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, I mean, rumours are... I mean, I'm going to spoil a future Sinister Society of Stupid, but the rumours of the villain is going to be Ego, the living planet, which... is literally a living planet with a big face. So in the first Guardians... If you remember, they went to that big station.
Yeah.
Space. That was with nerds like me were like, oh, I think you'll find that's Ego, a living planet. There you go. So I just started filming there.
Oh.
Crumbs.
What are we doing then?
Well, we need to kind of re-record an extra bit for this Guardians of the Galaxy Movie 2 stuff.
Why?
Well, they announced some news like half an hour after we finished the podcast. So... It's fine. I know Neil's not here, but we can totally cut this in. They'll never know.
It's going to be weird because he's not here, though.
It'll be fine. It'll be flawless. It'll be flawless. They've cast an actress called Pom Clementieff has been cast.
What's her name? Tell me that again.
Pom Clementieff, I think, is the way you pronounce
it. Where's she from, then?
I've got no idea. So she was cast back in October, and the rumours were that she may be playing a character called Mantis. And so, like, literally when we finished the podcast last night, James Gunn went on record to saying that, yes, she's definitely playing Mantis in the movie.
Right.
So I think we should do a primer. So can you tell me four facts that people should know about Mantis?
I can.
Let's go for it.
Well, her origin is that she is half Vietnamese and half German.
Right.
Don't know her first name. Her surname's Brandt.
That's a very Vietnamese name, isn't it?
Very Vietnamese. Her dad was Gustavo Brandt. That's the German side.
There we go.
That's the German side. She's got crazy powers.
Okay. Is this the second thing?
This is the second thing.
Go on.
She's got crazy powers. She's a martial artist. In fact, she's a martial artist grandmaster.
Oh, she has a bit of a boaster as well.
Yeah, she's quite good apparently.
Okay.
She's got a bunch of weird little skills going on. She's mastered meditation disciplines, so she can slow down her own heartbeat, and she can control her breathing and dull her reactions to pain.
It's a bit James Bond, isn't it?
It is a bit. And she can also heal herself quickly through force of will.
Amazing. But isn't that all women? Aren't women all, like, toughened up on that?
Don't generalise us like that,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
But yes, she's also skilled in empathy, so that's nice. Doesn't seem that unusual, really.
What, yeah. Being was he empathic? Does that mean they sense people's emotions, or does that mean she's just, like, a good listener?
Bit of both, really.
Bit of both. Right, okay.
Again, she's a woman.
Fair enough.
An area that we are skilled in. But... A little bit weirdly, though, she can communicate with plants.
Right. Okay. So that's a bit poison ivy-esque.
She can communicate with plants, but rumour has it she can use astral projection to create a new body made of plant matter.
Right. Yeah, I think they're going to skip over that in the movie.
Personally... Don't get it. Yeah. Weirder still is that she can project her consciousness into plant matter.
Right, okay. That's weird.
Personally, I think that she should be in the Sinister Society of Stupid.
Yeah, I think she's definitely a candidate.
And if Neil was here, I know he'd agree with me.
He probably would.
Yeah.
No, he is here. He is here. He's just keeping quiet.
Yeah, which is really unusual.
Anyway, moving on. This continuing illusion, this is... Seamless.
This is totally normal.
Yeah.
And not awkward at all. And what else?
So that's the first two things coming off.
Yeah, first two things. Third thing, her heritage. The Kree.
Right, that's the alien race we've seen from Guardians movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Blue-skinned dudes.
Yep. They called her the Celestial Madonna, believing that she was fated to become the mother of the Celestial Messiah.
So not an interstellar pop singer.
Not like a virgin.
Not like a... Well, okay, no. Yeah. Actually, you say that. Funny thing is, one thing I do know is when she first appeared, and they kind of glossed over this, she was apparently a prostitute in the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they kind of just glossed over that.
Seems like they're going to be glossing over quite a lot, to
I think
be
they will be. I think they will be. Anyway, go on, carry on. So, she's a celestial mother?
She? Not,
Madonna. Celestial Madonna. Madonna. Right,
yeah,
okay, right.
Celestial Madonna.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, she's meant to be fated to give birth to some kind of celestial messiah, so who knows.
Interesting.
What that means.
So go on, Em. Final point, number four, what we got?
Okay, teammates.
Yep.
She is slated to be a member of the Avengers, and more recently, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Interesting.
So
wow.
It looks like she might have quite a big part to play.
I think so. Well, I think James Gunn said that she's going to be a member of the Guardians team, so they're going to get a new team member. If it's just the whole martial arts stuff, it does sound like she's very similar to Gamora, played by Zoe Saldana, so maybe they're going to mix up a bit with her psychic abilities.
Yeah.
Probably not the plant stuff, though.
I think they might leave that one out, to be honest. Yeah.
Although, saying that, Groot's made a plant, they could have a bit of...
I am Groot.
Yeah. A bit going on.
Yeah.
Don't know if we're ready yet for the first plant and human-based coupling, though.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Cut all that stuff out. Cut the nonsense out. Let's just keep her good at martial arts, shall we?
Exactly. Neil agrees totally. Neil's nodding aggressively as we're talking about this. So.
Aggressive nodder.
Yeah. That's fine. Brilliant. That's excellent. I'll cut that in. They'll never know. Seamless. Utterly seamless.
Aha, we're tricksy.
Are we all wrapped up with movie news then?
I think so.
Jeez.
Maybe we should talk about comics.
Maybe we should talk about comics.
Yeah.
What you reading, Neil?
What am I reading? I think I'm the only one that's read any comics this week, because we've all been so bloody busy. I'm still on Darth. I thought I was going to give up on Darth. I'd done Vader Down, which was the big showdown.
Yeah.
Darth Vader versus everyone. It was like a grand slam of all the comic book characters. But no, I went into our local rubbish comic shop and there was one solitary copy of Darth Vader 16 on the shelf.
Right.
Or Darth Vader 16, bear with me here. The Shu Toran War.
Ooh, how do you spell that?
SHU-TORUN.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going with Shu Toran.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Darth's back. Spoiler, Darth's still raging. He was this bloody close to getting his hands on Luke Skywalker. And now Luke Skywalker's away hiding again.
Oh.
Because Darth knows exactly who Luke Skywalker is. This was revealed earlier in the Darth Vader series. Darth's had a right rough old time fighting all the rebels. And elsewhere in the series, the bloody Emperor, protagonist that he is, or antagonist that he is, has set Darth up against all manner of rivals. You add an Admiral Ackbar type guy with a big robot body.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you had two Jedi twins that aren't Jedi but are handy with the Force.
Yeah, they're a bit shit, those.
What's that all about?
Yeah, that one never sat right with me.
You're either a Jedi or you're not.
Yeah.
Shit will get off the pot.
Exactly.
Exactly.
As Yoda would say.
Yeah. And there was a lady what does loads of drones.
Oh, is this the female Indiana Jones type character?
No. That's Darth's secret partner in crime. That's the Doctor.
All right. Afra.
Yeah. So Afra's been carted away by the rebels, which you kind of forget about for most of this episode. But it's just Darth on his own. Darth goes back to the Emperor and is like, "Look, Emperor, you've sent this big fishy robot man against me. Yeah. Here he is in a box. I've fucked him up. What are you going to do now?"
I'd like to think he delivered that in his David Prowse voice.
Yeah. "Look, Darth Vader.
Stop mucking about.
You sent this fish man after me. Here he is in a box, all fucked up.
You babber.
Basically, he gives a bit of lip to the Emperor going, "Look, if you're going to set these other potential students against me, give me...
Give him off in a while.
Yeah, that's Darth pretty Vader. Much... He says, "I'm fucking Darth Vader.
Hear me roar
through me mask. Mon then."
So I'm just seeing Katy Perry now in...
Well, we all are.
I was thinking Catwoman.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, he basically sort of lays it down, and the Emperor's like, all right, oh, fucking right. Right, if you're gonna act the big man, prove it. So wouldn't you know it, Shu Torin's rebelling against the Empire. Bad move at this time in the Star Wars canonical year. So Darth's sent to help overthrow a rebellion. Anyway, this is a bit long-winded, but the reason I bring it up right. is I was genuinely about to turn me back on Darth Vader after Vader down. Which was a good end. I thought it was a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
But I'm really actually genuinely impressed at how things have got back to where we were liking them with Darth Vader. It was starting to take a few wrong turns for me. I thought it was being stretched out a bit longer. Sure. And certainly all the other Star Wars, with the exception of Star Wars itself, is they've all come to a natural end now. Yeah. Lando's done. Chewbacca's done.
That's fair enough.
My tummy.
Yeah.
Excuse my tummy, everyone. But no, I'm really happy that Darth Vader's still going and looks like he's going back. It's being billed as this Darth Vader's, you know, march to glory. So are we going to see him finally come out on top and become the big naughty Darth Vader that we all know and fear? And yeah, they seem to have managed it in this one while still maintaining that air of intrigue. So yeah, I'm going to keep reading Darth okay. Vader. And I advise you out there that are listening to read it too. It's bloody good.
You need to catch up.
You do need to get catch up. You can actually, I think both parts of, like, certainly up to the start of Vader Down now are out on, as collected editions.
They moved pretty quick, Marvel, on that side of things.
Yeah, they did. They were all out in time for Christmas. So I think there's two lots of Darth Vader out there to grab.
Well, I guess next week we need to talk about more comics. So I've got a few I have been catching up on. But we'll talk about those next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Or next issue.
That brings us to nearly the conclusion of this week's thrilling. You're so excited.
I am.
So we're almost at the end of this week's episode, but of course we can't sign off without Stu treating us to another sinister. Troll.
It's a troll. So Sinister Society of Stupid is back.
Right. It's back.
It's back. For this one, I had to go up to the loft.
Ooh.
What?
Not a metaphor. I had to literally go physically up to the loft and rummage through some boxes.
Already I'm impressed.
I bet you were loving every minute of that, and I can imagine you just grinning to yourself.
It's bloody cold up there, I'll be honest.
Is it?
So I went up there with a reason. I did say, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident I can beat Ruby Thursday from the last episode.
Because she was a shocker.
Yeah, and I had a few ideas, and the one I had in mind, I thought, oh, maybe that's not good enough. So I had a brainwave. I went back to 1964.
Wow.
To DC Comics Doom Patrol, which was a kind of like, it's kind of at the same time as Marvel released the X-Men, DC released the Doom Patrol, and they were kind of very similar. So while you had the X-Men, who were these kind of young kids who had mutated powers, but they still looked fairly ordinary.
Mm.
The Doom Patrol were very different, where, you know, their leader was also in a wheelchair. He was called the Chief. He had Professor X in Marvel. He had the Chief in DC. He had character names like Negative Man, Elastigirl, who could
grow. I feel we're already onto a winner.
Yeah, who could grow to giant size.
It's a lot of material.
Yeah, there. Robot Man, who was a man in a robot body.
Christ.
So that's your heroes.
Right.
So,
oh, wow.
So for this one, they basically took on some really bizarre characters. You had the Brain, which was a brain in a jar.
Just in a jar? In on a jar. Body?
Yeah, no, in a jar. And then you had his...
We'd have to get carried around everywhere, wouldn't
he? Yeah, pretty much. He was carried around by his compadre, Monsieur Mala, which was...
Well, sounds a bit French.
He was. He was a French-talking gorilla.
Oh, hello.
At this point, you're probably thinking, why haven't I wheeled out these bad boys? So, but I've actually found something better. I found one of the earliest Doom Patrol villains. Again, I think I'm going to show you the visuals
right.
on this one. So I'm going to go off of a couple of...
Oh, I don't want to open my eyes.
There you go.
Well, these are dogged. Yeah, these are antiques.
The I'm introducing you now to the Animal Vegetable Mineral Man.
Oh, fuck's sake. Right. How...
The AVM Menace.
Yeah.
He appears to be very big. So imagine... So start with Godzilla, right?
Yeah.
Start with Godzilla, but he's got a man's face. Part of him is crystalline like diamond, like maybe he's got like the odd wrist or limb crystalline like diamonds. The rest of him's all monster. And then
a
normally
tree.
Yeah, and then he's got tree limbs as well. So
only the two.
Well, it seems to vary up because he's either
he's different. He's an octopus there, and he's a
It's like he's got the best of every world. Like, he doesn't have to choose to be any one particular thing at any one particular time.
And he's a tree. He's got a tree arm and a tree leg there.
It's almost as if he can be anything that's either animal, vegetable, or mineral.
Vegetable comes as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, where's the vegetable coming
into
it?
Plant. That could be made of cauliflower.
I guess vegetation.
Oh, it looks like a cauliflower flower.
Do you want to know his backstory?
No, not really.
Yeah, just point out what an absolute dick robot man looks like as well.
Yeah.
Christ.
His design hasn't changed much. I mean, the Doom Patrol kind of still crop up every now and then. So basically, you're looking at Dr. Sven Larsson, a Swedish scientist.
Bloody Swedes.
Look at the leotard. I don't know why.
I thought you'd say he looks Swedish because he's got a tree for a leg.
No.
Looks very IKEA.
Looks very organised.
So basically, he gained his superpowers by, bear with me, by falling into a vat of amino acids.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Wow. So I don't know, but for amino acids, I always think that's stuff for bodybuilders, right?
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
You take it as a dietary supplement to boost your protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like skincare.
So anyway, he can change any part of his body into any animal, vegetable or mineral. Usually his right side of his face and his torso remain human. So on the cover, you've got him on the covers. You see his face, you see his torso.
Yeah.
You notice when you go for the comic strips themselves, he never appears in that form in his first couple appearances. So out of these animal, vegetables or minerals, which of these has the AVM man not turned into? Right?
Not turned into. Okay.
There we go. We've got a swarm of gnats, a bat, a golem made from diamond.
Well, he's definitely turned into that.
A giant prehistoric man.
Yeah.
Electric eels. Two more.
Right.
A sponge. Or a dandelion.
I am going to go straight away with gnat and bat. Because I think bat would have been, well, I suppose DC, they could have gotten away with it.
What was the...
We'll go through again. So we have a swarm of gnats.
Okay.
A bat. A golem made from diamond. A giant prehistoric man, electric eels, a sponge, or a dandelion. So which of these has he not transformed into in his first two appearances?
In his first two appearances?
Yeah, I'm just based on those. It's not just, yeah.
A sponge?
You're saying a sponge.
I don't know, because I feel like that's so ridiculous. He probably bloody did, didn't he?
I'd definitely say gnats. I think that would have been too hard to illustrate.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
So you're saying sponge?
Sponge and gnats.
You're saying gnats.
Yeah.
So I've been a dick. It's a trick question. He's transformed into all of those. Transformed into all of those.
Oh, bloody.
So he was defeated using an anti-decay ray.
Right.
Something that stops all changes in living cells, or so the comic says.
Uh-huh.
They managed to reverse the process. But he came back. Like any good supervillain, you can't keep him down.
This is the first Sinister Society of Stupid Villain that it's literally brought us to a pause, because now we're reading through the comics because we can't quite believe it.
I'm a big Doom Patrol fan. I think they're amazing because they're completely batshit. Completely batshit of their time. They've never really had the success they deserve, but they're just too out there. They're very much a 60s kind of thing.
It is completely mental when you go through it.
I also like that there's an advert for a Johnny Cash LP.
Yep.
And Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep, $2 each. Oh, Christ.
So thank you, writer Arnold Drake and artist Bruno Premiani, for your inspired,
I'd like to think,
LSD-inspired creation of the animal, vegetable, mineral man. Got a lot of 60s.
I don't know.
That's pretty far out. True to your words, you've got something even stupider than last week.
Do you think it is stupider than last week, though? Because Ruby Thursday really... She tickled me.
What, the organic computer for a head?
You think
an organic computer for a head is better than a guy who can change any of his part of his body into...
It's the vegetable thing that just... Animal or mineral or vegetable. Like, why all three? Sure, why not? Just get the monopoly.
So now I've crushed you spiritually.
Yeah. Go see Deadpool.
Can we put this lovely image on
the online? Page? We'll put it on Twitter. We'll share the love. He actually appeared in, remember the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon series from about 5 or 6 years ago?
Okay.
So every episode, Batman teamed up with a different DC hero.
Yeah.
And there was a Doom Patrol themed episode, and the Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man was actually in that.
What?
In all his glory. So
people can YouTube that.
Yeah, we'll post some images up from the comics. We'll also see if we can find a link to that episode.
All right.
To see him in action.
All right, well, thanks very much for listening, everyone. This has been the BAM Comic Podcast.
It's late.
We've ran out of tea. We've run out of sanity, but thank you very much for listening. You can find me under Neil Gortz on Twitter. Where can they find you, Stu?
You can find me under Stu Nami on Twitter.
Where can they find you, Carly?
Under the complicated name of Carly Moxie Kem.
Good luck with that one. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We've been the BAM Comic Podcast. Bye!
Nice harmony, guys.
Yeah, I thought so.
Go to it. Right, so off to see Deadpool again, yeah?
Crumbs.